So, Babbie, it is so great to be with you. And I wanted to have this opportunity to sit with you and to talk to you about this little devotional book that you wrote about what it means for women to know that they are daughters of the Most High King.
Mm-hmm. First of all, Peggy, let me just say what a thrill it is to be with you and to just run alongside you and just continue to embrace your passion that you have for women.
It is a real passion of ours to speak hope to women around the world and across generations. As we come together as TWR Women of Hope, we want to help women see that they are valued, that yes. they are treasured in Jesus. And so much of what you have written and the way you speak and the way you live just lives that out. And so I just want to talk through some of the topics that you chose.
Yeah. Well, all the books that I write mm-hmm. and the devotions that I write are born from my own personal walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Over 3 years ago now, I celebrated what I call my year of Jubilee.
Yes.
50 years of walking with Jesus.
Wow.
I accepted Christ as a very young child. My daddy was a pastor.
Yeah.
I grew up in the church. It was a prerequisite that everybody in my family had a job in the church, and mine was to play the piano. I got hired full-time at age 9. So church is my life. I'm now in a parachurch ministry. I sing, I write Christian music, I record, I speak to women, and I write books and devotionals for women, and that's what keeps me on the road and yeah. fulfilling my calling. But it was about 5 years ago now. I was sitting in church with my husband, Charles, and the pastor said, turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, I am God's favorite.
Mm.
Yeah, that was my response, too. I kind of chuckled and thought, what in the world does that mean?
Right.
And as the words were coming out of my mouth, it felt a little awkward for me to confess that. But I thought, okay, I'll go along with this. Mm. And I thought, okay, what does that mean? Is that even possible?
Mm.
And I just began to search the scriptures. And one morning while I was reading John 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus,
yes.
it's a red letter passage. It's a beautiful prayer that Jesus prays for his disciples. Verse 20 reveals that not only was he praying for them, but he was also praying for those who would believe the message of the disciples, which means as Jesus was facing the cross, the most critical hour of his ministry,
yeah.
I was on his mind mm-hmm. and you were on his heart.
Yeah.
And those that are listening were on the mind and the heart of Jesus. And then I got to verse 23. As Jesus continued to pray, these were his words. He says to the Father, I am in them and you are in me. May they be completely one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you love them
mm.
just as much as you love me.
Oh.
And as I read those words, I even said aloud, what?
Yes, yeah.
What does, you mean you love me as much as you love Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And I read those words and I even said aloud, God, you mean you love me as much as you love your beautiful, perfect, spotless, holy son?
Mm-hmm.
And when that began to sink into my heart and began to revolutionize my faith walk, it literally began to change my love walk with Jesus.
Wow. Yeah.
To realize that he loves me just that much
mm.
and that his love is totally unconditional. It's not determined by my behavior
yeah.
or how good I am or you know me being a good church girl or a pastor's daughter or how much I pray or pay
mm.
or whatever. But it's all because of what Jesus has done for me, not what Babbie has done,
mm-hmm.
but what Jesus has done for me.
Mm.
And I just began to let myself off the hook
mm-hmm.
and embrace his deep love for me.
Yeah.
And so out of that revelatory moment, season in my life, these books began to be born.
Mm.
And so this book called I Am a Daughter of the Most High King is an exclamation point in, I believe, my relationship with the Lord. And I want every woman who picks up this book, even those that haven't read it yet but are hearing our voices today, Dr.
Yes.
Peggy,
yeah.
to know you are God's favorite,
mm.
not because of who you are, but because of whose you are.
Yeah.
Not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift, according to Ephesians 2 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift of God, not of work, so that nobody can boast about it.
Mm-hmm.
Receive it as a gift. When you receive it as a gift, you say thank you. When you receive any gift,
yes.
you say thank you, and you live a life that pleases God as a result.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so this book, I Am a Daughter of the Most High King, is a huge reminder to every woman that you, first of all, you're God's daughter. In the passage where Jesus touches the woman with the issue of blood,
mm-hmm.
he calls her daughter,
mm-hmm.
a term of endearment. And the Lord loves us today as women. and he wants what is best for us, and he is our Father. And maybe somebody who's listening today doesn't have a good relationship with her earthly father, but this book reminds us that you have a heavenly Father who loves you, who is pleased with you, who is not condemning you, who is not pointing fingers at you, who is not keeping score, but he loves you and wants you to know that he has a plan for your life.
It's a powerful message, Babbie. I just love that message because I grew up without a father. And when I was 7 years old, my mother remarried, and my stepfather was not anyone that I felt safe with. It was not a safe place to be with him. So when you came to know Jesus 50 years ago, I mean, I just can't even imagine. It hasn't been that long for me, but I'm so thankful that you have had that journey of growing up in an environment where you have known an earthly father who loves you, but also have grown into understanding of who your heavenly Father is. And I'm thankful today that I've had men and women in my life that have helped me along that journey as well, you know, that have taught me how to read the Bible, how to live a life that's free from my past and the things that happened to me, and to embrace what it means to have a new identity for my future.
Yes.
And it's so important that we know that we can have a new identity.
Yes.
That we can be different when we embrace the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
And what Jesus has done for us on the cross. That it is in Christ alone that we can find this new identity, that we can understand this love from a heavenly Father that is unending, never changing, and the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Well, the Bible tells us that if anyone is in Christ, if any man be in Christ, and that is a universal term meaning all of us, if any man be in Christ, all things are passed away.
Yes,
And behold, all things become new. Mm. And so it doesn't matter what your story is. This is what I love about Jesus, is that we have a totally different story.
Right.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from New York, but I was raised in Florida.
Okay.
So after my father died, he died 2 weeks before I was born.
Mm.
And my mother had three other children at the time. She had my two brothers and my sister. When I was seven, my mother remarried. And my stepfather, I never felt comfortable with him. And he did some things that were inappropriate for any little girl. And so as a young woman, I started to find my identity and my security and my safety in relationships with boys and in performance. I was a high achiever. You know, I reached a wonderful achievement in school and athletics, but I was just dying inside, dying to find a safe place where I could be myself, where I was not going to be hurt by anyone physically, emotionally, or sexually. So it led me down a path where there was much destruction and desperate times in my life and depression. And then in my 30s, you know, later in life, I realized I was really in trouble. And that's when a friend of mine invited me to her church. At the time, I had a successful business. I was training professional athletes, and I had won a national aerobic championship and was doing commercials and things. And I thought I had it all together, but I was dating a guy who was hurting me very badly, beating me very often, and abusing me. No one knew about it. And so when I was at that church, the pastor preached a message from Psalm 46:1 that says, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. And I knew that day I needed God to be my help because I was in trouble. So I gave my life to Christ, and I knew to have a relationship with Jesus, I had to get out of that relationship with my abusive boyfriend. So I came home, and I called him that day after church, told him I wanted to end the relationship once and for all. With domestic violence and abuse, you kind of break up and go back to the relationship and break up and go back several times. Statistics say up to 13 times before a woman's actually free. And that was kind of my pattern. And I wanted it to be different. And I told him I wanted to end it once and for all. And that night in his anger, he actually broke into my apartment and came there to kill me. He said that just like all the reports you read, if he couldn't have me, nobody else would. He was there for several hours, beat me terribly, hurt me for many hours. And I know today It's only by God's grace that he left my apartment that night. And I like to say, I think so I can speak hope to women around the world and across generations today. He left my apartment that day so I could speak to women today.
Mm.
And I really believe that.
Yeah.
So, you know, now God has been so gracious to me to put women in my life and men that have helped mentor me. And today I just want women to know that they can have hope.
Yes.
They can find healing in the person of Jesus. Not in any other person, but in the person of Jesus.
Yes. You know, Dr. Peggy, here's the beautiful thing is that you and I, every woman listening, we all have a story.
Yes, right.
And the details of the story are different. But there is that deep need in all of us.
Yes.
For a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
For a God who loves us and wants to rescue. I always kind of revert to one of my favorite hymns, rescue the perishing
mm-hmm.
and care for the dying.
Mm.
Regardless of the details of your story, there is a God who wants to be a part of your story.
Yes, amen.
And he wants you to come back to him. He wants you to include him in your story.
Yes.
Because he wants you to experience the best that he has for you.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, and I like to place my name in the front of promises in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Babby, this is what the Lord says. I know the plans I have for you, Babby. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. He says, call on me and I'll answer you. Search for me and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And so those of you that are listening today, Dr. Peggy Banks, and I just want you to know that there is a God who loves you. And he sent his son Jesus to demonstrate that love in flesh and blood so that we would know what real love looks like.
Yeah.
And your story is just compelling.
Amen.
Remarkable of how Jesus can take a life and redeem us.
Absolutely. Amen. So great being with you today, Babby.
Amen. Great being with you too.